Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. You know, just waiting for everything to get normal.
But I know.
The one good normal thing in our life is the D1 Softball Podcast, which is like the highlight of my days. So, and we had a really good one today. I'm excited about today's podcast.
Yeah, so we'll just go quickly over the news. The last week we had USD San Diego announced assistant coach Shay Knighton. She'll be joining her sister MJ down there in San Diego. Big play Shay. She's 2-time national champion, back-to-back with Oklahoma, her freshman and sophomore season. She hit 360 at OU and was the most outstanding player at the Women's College World Series and Big 12 Player of the Year back in 2017. So that is a big pickup for the Toreros in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm always interested how that interview process goes. I mean, that's probably a real hard get, you know? Do you walk down the hall at your house or, you know, hey, sis, that's cool. I mean, it's great. I'm excited about it, but it's always funny when, you know, when you have either siblings or, you know, brothers, sisters or
significant others. Yeah.
Hired. Yeah. And it's, you can trust the person. So that helps. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, I mean, it's a great, and she's like, it's going to be fun to watch to see how they do. And she's obviously kind of a new coach coming in, you know, had some experience after a playing career, but that program, it's going to be fun to see what they can do down there. Cause they definitely have the knowledge, which we know for sure. So
yeah, and you got that championship mindset at OU, and I'm just excited selfishly because it's so close to me. So it's just about, you know, an hour and a half car ride for me to go down there and catch some games next season. So excited to see that. Also, we've released the next set of the top 50 countdown. We just released University of Washington, which our guest today is actually from UW, and Florida State University. And Rhi's got that amazing story on Jesse Warren's catch and how that shaped the program there. Rhi, what do you got on this Jesse Warren story?
Yeah, the diving double play, which is it's one of the greatest plays of all time. I mean, for sure. I mean, I'm not just being recency biased. It's just an amazing play. So I kind of wanted to talk to some of the people. And now that we've had a few years to kind of marinate on it, 2018 national title by Florida State. Talk to Jesse Warren, talk to Megan King, talk to a few of the, you know, some of the younger, you know, a graduate assistant coach that was, you know, really close to them, and just, you know, what that did, how it felt in the moment, and then kind of some of the, you know, the ripple effects, like how that's impacted her since and how that's actually, you know, helped her grow her brand and become something that she can capitalize off of. It was great to talk to her and kind of catch up and see how that, you know, changed her life a little bit, which is, that's the power of having women's sports on television too, because everyone was able to see that in social media. So it dives into all those aspects, like what she was thinking in the moment, what, you know, what the social media reaction was, what the opportunities were for her because of that play. And we saw her during Athletes Unlimited. She's played there, and everyone saw that she's just as good there. I think the thing that really jumped out to me in that story was that all her teammates were like, she does all the time. Like, it was cool, but like, we see that, we saw that every day. It like was like, oh, that's it. Like, I think the quote was, if uniforms, which we'll go into greater depth with our guests. So we'll leave that to that. But yeah, it's been fun to do these stories and kind of, you know, some of the bigger moments in the history. And that catch was definitely, that'll go down. You'll see that in every highlight for the Women's College World Series forever until there is
forever. No more. Exactly.
Forever. It'll be on every highlight, every intro, every everything. So, and it's cool to have that sort of play and be able to like talk about it, you know, with the participants.
Yeah, so check it out. It's on the site on d1softball.com. Like, subscribe on Facebook, Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And
subscribe to the site, too. Subscribe to the site, because we're going to have some fall reports coming up, folks, and you're going to want to be a paid subscriber because there's going to be some good stuff in there. So if you're not, you're going to be missing out.
Yeah, I'm excited for these fall reports. We've got, you know, kind of a breakdown of what happened in 2020. And then, you know, Rhi and I have just been, you know, grinding away talking to all these head coaches. So we'll have some tidbits that you won't be able to find anywhere else. With that said, we are going to have our guest on and cannot wait to chat with Dina Tyson. All right, and our special guest this week is Dina Tyson Sly. Dina was an All-American at UW, University of Washington. She went to the Women's College World Series three times. In her senior season, 2007, she hit 400 with 18 home runs, 50 RBIs, and only, you know, actually only 22 strikeouts, which I'm actually most impressed about in all those at-bats, Dina. She's now a current coach at Corona Angels. She wrote a book called Focus Up. It's not all about the finish line. It's about the process. And just so excited to have you here, Dina. Dina and I go way, way, way back. And can't wait to hear what you have to say about your Huskies. Dina, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here, T. Is that, let's get it out the way now. Yes, me and Tara, we were bat busters together. So everyone listening, yes, Marty Tyson's daughter was a bat buster. Angels weren't around yet.
There you go. If they were, you wouldn't have been. You would have been an angel. Let's, we'll put that out there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks joining us.
Dina, so talk a little bit about UW. Now, you actually were under Teresa Wilson and Heather Tarr. So talk to me a little bit about your experience at UW and going from your first couple of seasons there to becoming an All-American in your senior season. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I'm glad you brought the book because that's kind of what the book was about. Just like this long journey of how do you become an, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're so amazing. You're an All-American. And I'm like, that wasn't an easy process. And I think that with Coach Wilson, I was the original coach who recruited me. She was there my first 2 years. And then she was let go. She was let go right before our sophomore season. And then our assistant coaches were the head coaches that year. And then Coach Tarr actually came in the year I redshirted. So I redshirted. And so I didn't get to experience her first year that she was there or whatnot. But then me and Coach Tarr. So I always say, I was like, I feel like, in my opinion, Coach Tarr was absolutely what we needed in this transformation. And I just text her because it was the coaches thing, right? That coaches day. And I text her to let, like, you don't realize that maybe until afterwards, what a huge part she was of creating the player that I became. That I was always talented, like, you know, not bragging, but I was pretty good. And Coach Wilson was like that perfect coach for me. She kept her foot on my throat, right? And I needed that kind of coach. So it took me a while to become the player I needed once I lost Coach Wilson. And I think, though, although those are amazing coaches that stay on you, is that Coach Tarr is who developed the woman I became, of that accountability and things like that. So it was just like, without the people, like, would you change it? Would you have gone somewhere else if you'd have known, like, it would have been all these coaching changes? And I wouldn't, because I do think it created who I became, and so many lessons that I learned throughout my 5 years that I was at UW that I can teach my players now. So, like, I tell players, I said, you're kind of unlucky in the regards of that I'm your coach. Why? Is because I did it wrong for 3 years. So I know about cutting the corners. I know about all the BS that you can do to be that player that puts yourself in cruise control. And then I'm the player that can tell you, like, hey, yeah, you can change, because I did it at 22. So, like, when I hear girls like, well, you know, like, I've been doing this for so long. Stop. I was 22 years old and I changed it. I literally was a 180 of who I was. And so it was just, I think that was an amazing experience that I can attribute to going to Washington, of becoming the mom I am. I am, of all those ups and downs. And then, yeah, the process is amazing. And it wasn't, okay, great, I was an All-American, but everything I learned throughout my career is truly what made me into who I am today.
That's awesome. That's a great lesson for everyone, no matter what type of athlete, no matter, even just in life in general, you know, like, people come into your life that can change you and, you know, take you on a road you never expected. And what you think could be a bad thing could turn out to be a blessing, and you can make it into a blessing. So that's awesome to hear. Yeah. And we, on our side this week, we're still, you're counting down the top 50 programs of the last decade. I want to make that perfectly clear, because we've had some people thinking it's all time or the last, you know, just this year. But, and UW is obviously up there in the top 10 at number 6. So I did a story about the tradition they have under Coach Tarr, who implemented it. She perfectly admits that she stole it from Carol Hutchins at Michigan. You know, there's no new ideas, right? Everything's borrowing. The tradition of the jersey, the uniform numbers, where players that before they can wear the uniform, they have to do like a research report on all the players that came before them that wore that same number, which I think is so cool, because I'm a big, big thing with, especially with women's sports, to learn about your history, because the women that paved the way went through so much to get to where we are today. And we still have so far to go, but for everyone to learn about what they had to play through and do and kind of get there. And it's just an amazing, I would love for all programs to institute this. So you were on the other side of it. You were someone that younger players have reached out to ask about that. Can you, from your prism, tell us a little bit about that uniform tradition and kind of what that does for the program?
I did not go through the process, but I remember my senior season, I didn't know the history of number 3, but it was brought to me kind of like, especially when I like started like looking like I could have had an All-American season. And I remember our SID came up and was like, hey, you know, everyone that's worn the number 3 has been an All-American. And I'm like, and then like, it was like such a California Corona connect, is that Sarah Pickering was number 3. She went to my same high school, Corona High. And then she was an All-American. And then there was Coach Gott at the time, who was coaching there. She was number 3, and she was from Corona, but went to Centennial. We won't judge her on that. But she was also an All-American. And so then I was like, I was already felt the pressure, like I wanted to be an All-American. And then I was like, oh my gosh, all right, I don't want to mess this tradition up. So it was like, that was like more like that history. Like you say, when you play behind history, it's so much bigger. So it was like, okay, now I really don't want to be the first number 3 to not be an All-American. And so when Coach Tarr had decided that the first number 3 was Nikki Williams, and she ended up being a 2-time All-American. And I was like, to me, it was fitting. Like, there was no question that, like, I'm like, yes, Nikki should be an All-American. I mean, should be a number 3, because she was a Corona Angel, and I've known her since she was like 14 years old. And so I was like, how awesome is that, that the next number 3 is going to be someone that, like, I had a personal relationship with. So I was like super pumped about that. And I'm like, absolutely number 3. So they call you and they like ask you, like, what does number 3 mean to you? Like, how do you feel about this number? So, you know, and you give them information, like, and I told Nikki, I'm like, I'm not going to lie. Like, once I found that out, I was like, oh, that's a lot of pressure. So I was like, as a number 3, in my opinion, that's someone who's okay with accepting pressure. Not everybody wants pressure. So I'm like, to me, that's what a number 3 is. Like, we're going to stand out and we're going to like do our thing. And so then the next one was Taylor Van Zee. And I started doing a blog before. I started doing like a little blog thing that I did weekly before my book came out. And I never said her name in the post I had made. And it was about being an All-American. Because for whatever reason, I don't know, Taylor was not an All-American. But I mean, you look at her stats compared to my stats, she's an All-American. And so I made this post about like an All-American isn't technically the trophy. It's who you are. Like, are you an All-American person? And let's be real, you see Taylor Van Zee, that's an All-American. And so it was like, it was huge, because I'm like, Taylor, I remember when she called me, right? And so I was like, because you get caught up in the Corona Angels, you know, firecrackers, all that. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I got a firecracker wanting to be number 3. And so I was like, all right, here we go. But she was like, and like, you respect the people that put the effort into it. She had so much information already about the number. And I was like, man, it would be a privilege. It would be an honor for you to wear number 3. And so that was just something huge that was important to me, that I was like, man, this is awesome that what Coach Tarr is doing. And I remember calling Coach Tarr, I talked to Coach Tarr, and I'm like, hey,
we're still waiting. She's so excited by it. She called Coach Tar, and now we're just waiting with bated breath. This is 2020, folks. This is technology in 2020. So we are waiting. She's probably going through some shady part of, you know, where there's very little cell service. So, I mean, Tar, we did the story, you know, in reading the story, Tar, what really stuck out to you about that tradition? I mean, I know you don't really, you know, we don't discuss stories necessarily. I do them, you read them. What jumped out to you about that story when you read it?
You know, and I've actually, you know, talked to Dina about the history at UW, and we've gone through that legend series. And I just think honoring the past and those past players, it's just really neat to see that, that each generation, you know, players from each generation be a part of that process. I think we've got Dina back here. Do we got you back, Dina?
Yes.
Yeah. Sketchy part of driving. That's driving. And, you know, and we're just all about this because she's a mom. She's taking her kid to school. She's multitasking. This is what we're all about. So we embrace the technical difficulties on this podcast. We're not going to hide them. You know, everything. So you were talking about how Coach Tar called you, and that's kind of where we cut off there.
Okay, perfect. So then I saw Coach Tar and I said, hey, I'm not going to lie. I think we put the number on ice for a while. Like I just felt like, and you know what I love about, and I think that's what makes HT so special. She was like, I think you're right. I was like, you know, I was like, we had a good run and like, okay, this like that ended up, you know, ended up not happening. So I was like, you know, I was like, let's put our number on ice for a little bit. Let's put number three on ice for a little bit. And if you look, number three has been on ice for a little bit.
So, yeah, man, you're like done. Like you're just like either retire it or we're not gonna. No, I'm just kidding.
It was just one of those things. I was like, Taylor, let's give her like she. I want her to be like she was the last number three for a while, and I want that to be honored. Even though she didn't get the All-American thing, I wanted it to be honored that I wanted her to be number three for a while. Like that's the last number three that we remembered for a while, just because she didn't get what I thought she deserved. So I'm like, maybe this could be something that we could give her.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the interesting part of the story too was like, obviously, Sis Bates has Coach Tar's number. Anyone that would, I mean, that's obviously legit. Like, that, there's no question that she's earned every bit of that number. We can just put that, you know, she's ridiculously talented and we're blessed to get another year of her. But having, you know, picking Coach Tar's number has got to be like a lot of pressure, man. When you go in there and you're like, I got to wear my coaches. Like she's like right there every day, you know? So it's interesting that the numbers they pick. And I think some of them realize who wore it before them once they get it. And they're like, holy crud. Like I got to live up to this, you know? So, but it's cool. I heard talking to alumni like you and the players, they just think it's such a great bridge. Like it automatically gives players a reason to stay invested with the program, which you think most would, but sometimes you live life, you know, you have kids, you kind of get disconnected. This is a way to always keep it connected. I think that's the cool part because, you know, it's a way that you feel like I have a reason. I mean, you always want to watch your alma mater, but you have a kid that like took the time to reach out to you and it just really makes the kid feel like, okay, I know like I'm coming into this family and I already have history and it. I just think there's so many positives to this to tradition and I hope every school does something kind of close to this.
I am 100% fan of that. Is that just this weekend, I was in Oklahoma. We were playing Texas Impact. And I remember seeing, I was like, hey, I'm pretty sure we just verbaled a girl from Texas. So I went over there and I found her. And I was like, hey, I'm Dina. I'm like, I went to Washington. I was like, I saw you on social media. I was like, I want to introduce myself. We took a picture, you know, and I like sent it to Coach Tar. Like, hey, like this, like, I'm with you. And I was talking to this about Tara a while ago. Like, it's so disheartening when our girls nowadays don't know the history. Like, I kind of gave it to my girls this weekend because I was like bragging about like, yeah, you see that number one girl that just won, Kat Osterman? Yeah, she's my age, right? But I'm like, I had maybe three of my girls who watched it. I'm like, all of us, I was like, man, I was at lessons. My mom had it playing the whole time during lessons. Like, we didn't miss it. And so I'm like, that tradition, like, maybe if we can build more tradition, then maybe our younger girls can be more involved. I was saying the other day about tradition. this is off, but I loved how you talk about tradition, is that the thing that I left the most, that not even my number, is Coach Tarr does an amazing job of bridging tradition. And I was on a Zoom call with him during COVID, and it was about, I was known as like the cheer master. And like cheers really didn't start till I got till like my junior year. And so we're on here and we're just talking about cheers and what they do and like their favorite cheers. And I mean, it really brought me to tears. Like my sons are looking at me like, Mom, I'm like, I really teared up because, you know, they had to talk about their cheers. And I was like, what? I was like, it was weird because some of the cheers they were talking about, I said, bro, I swear these are my cheers. And so they did like a couple cheers. And I said, oh my gosh. I'm like, let me not date myself, but I graduated in 07. And the fact that we're in 2020 and my cheers are still lingering in that dugout, like that's like that bridge that we talk about. I'm like, you're doing a Deena Tyson cheer that we made up on in the airport traveling. Like, that's amazing to me. And I'm like, if we could, like, I agree with you, all programs build a tradition that's special because that does keep you connected. And I was like, wow, I have girls in my dugout who are doing my cheer. Like, that's my cheer. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, let it be known, there is a Bat Buster cheer that Deena Tyson did make up.
Yes, yes.
And it goes something like maroon uniforms.
Hey, with the Adidas
shoes. A what?
No job, but I'm still fly. And we'll be like, my new Ford Edge. In
Marty's name.
And wow. I'm just like...
This is next level stuff. Our cheers weren't quite that sophisticated when I was playing travel ball. We did the typical like, hey, number, whatever, you know, and all the lame ones. You guys took it to a new level. This is crazy.
Which is amazing, right? But it's that tradition. And I think that what Coach Tarr did, and I always tell people about why I love my Huskies. Like, I'm a Husky to and through. I already told my son they play football. It's not an option. You going to Washington. Coach Tarr, like, she said something that was amazing. Like, when she came over, she was like, when I came to coach, she was like, I saw more talent than we had when we played, but I didn't see our Husky fight. And I was like, it was true. We maybe were becoming those prima donnas, right? Because when they first came on the stage, they had to come up against the Arizonas, the UCLAs and stuff like that. So they had this chip on their shoulder. And so we had had some success. So I think that, you know, we were just kind of like, hey, it is what it is. We no longer had that dog fight. And I think that we did need Coach Tarr in there, right? And alumni. So it wasn't just a random coach, someone who knew what it takes to be Husky and what Husky softball was. And I just, man, it was amazing to see our program change. And I remember saying that in my last press conference at the College World Series. And I said, Coach Tarr is what was needed. Like, without her, I don't know where UW softball was. She was able to give us, well, we had the talent, but we lost the dogfight. So she brought the dogfight back in us.
Yeah. And that's a common theme, even with like when I'm doing these top 50 stories and talking to like even Oklahoma State, which doesn't have an alum obviously leading the program, but he's really embraced the old alum like Michelle Smith, for example, who's obviously a big name.
Exactly.
But he said that's what they lost. They lost that blue collar mentality. They kind of like needed to get back to that kind of dog. And we've seen that they've ticked off a few teams on the way there. Not, you know, just being a little bit more swaggy, you know.
I'm a fan.
Back to that. And he made sure that alumni came and told them what it was like. And so that's what I know everything's great. I mean, the game has progressed, but you can never forget your past. And the past kind of, you know, it helps you to really appreciate what you have and to even want to play for something bigger than yourself, you know. And that's what a program's about. That's what these top 50, man, that ingrained program, you know, where you people came before you and you want to play for them too. I think that's what makes successful programs is when people embrace like, you know, all of it. And like everyone is, you know, trying to help each other from whether it's the past supporting the future, you know, using the past to get better. I'm all about that. I think in every women's sport, you know, cause that's, you know, we need to embrace the Title IX and everything and what it took to get to where we are. And I'm with you, Deena, too, in terms of and as a reporter, I have to bite my tongue a lot, but when I talk to girls and they're like, oh, I don't watch the WNBA or I don't watch like NWC. I'm like, what? Like, how is that possible? And I'm like, well, I know I'm a little bit like, I'm crazy because I'm like 100% sports all the time. But even then, I'm like, you still need to like, you can't, like, women need to invest in women. Like, you need to be supporting women.
I got two jobs. I got a husband. I got three kids. But I know Sue Bird just over here made history. Shoot. I'm like, you have to know those things. They're so important. I said, you guys know what Sue Bird is doing is amazing.
She's turning 40 next week, folks. And she just won her fourth WNBA title. She won, like, she's crazy, crazy good. And she's playing like just as good as ever. So yeah, the Seattle Storm WNBA title the other night, she's turning 40 in like 5 days. Like, the woman is turning 40. So let's give her props. And she was like 16 assists in that first game. That's a record.
Right.
And she's turning 40.
I'm with you. And I think me and Tara were talking about this, is that like, bringing back, know your roots, like, know who has paved the way for you. Like, I'm all my girls about that. I'm just like, you guys, like, if you, what you guys have been given, golly, like, you don't, I saw the first fields at Washington. So I'm like, I want to make sure, like, you guys have lights. Like, you got, man, you guys get to play under the lights. Like, know how important that is. Don't ever get where you're just like, oh, it is what it is. Like,
yeah.
Because once you get there, then you're going to get complacent. And there's so much more. Is it out? People are like, why did you stop playing? Like, you low-key hit your prime. And I will, you know, like, because at the end of the day, I knew I wanted a family. And I was like, so what people don't understand is, like, what, like, I didn't do it. So I respect all the girls that kept playing who they wasn't really getting paid. They can't make a living off of that. That was for the pure love of the game. So as you see it get developing and you see girls being able to make a living playing softball, like, that's huge. But you got to, why? Because of the old people that were like, hey, I'm going to still keep playing. And they got us here. So I just, like, respect what's here. That drives me nuts. I'm not going to lie, you guys. That grinds my gears. When people don't know, like, I was like, you know Caitlin Lowe? And they're looking at me like, who, the Arizona? Like, it would be like, if they know I'm like, oh, the Arizona coach. No, bro.
Well, it's true. It happens, and I think it happens more in women's sports. But even, I mean, like, a lot of people don't even realize John Madden even coached. Like, they just think he's a video game dude. So I mean, it's like,
you know what? So I'm gonna say this. I have three boys. They know their history. They'll be talking about some football players, and I'll be like, how do y'all know this? And I get so mad at my girls. Like, my sons are over here talking about OJ's. Like, how do you know about the juice? Even though his nickname. Like, yeah, I want to run the ball like the juice. Like, how do you know the juice? How do you know Barry Sanders? He retired early. Like, but they know their history.
Yeah, let's just run the ball like the juice. That's about it. That's all that's been do. Like, don't.
That's it. I told them that. You know, when you look up, like, well, what do you know about him? He was a running back at USC.
Just yeah, exactly.
A running back. Exactly. Yeah. A running back at USC. That part.
With that said, I think we should figure out how we bring this history back into softball, and maybe we can have Dina on.
We could have like a weekly, like, you know, we could do a podcast in 1 month, like every month have a historical figure in softball to dedicate one pod a week, or, you know, even a week to it. I do that. I'm game for that. Oh, you know, I think that's great. Bring them on, have them talk about the past.
The legends series. We talked about it, Dina. I think we got to do this legend series. I think it's time.
Yeah, I agree. You can be with us, Dina. You can be.
You know, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. I've always, this has been since I even started writing sports, I've always made a case that every women's sports program should dedicate a day. Everyone says, oh, we only have so many hours, blah, blah, blah. One day dedicated to Title IX history. Like, you learn all about Title IX and everything that came before you. That should be required at every women's sports in college. Every single one should have a day dedicated to learning about Title IX and what people struggle to get to where they are. Like you said, Dina, the facilities weren't always this good. I remember our locker room was literally, we had like a toilet in the middle, and it was about the size of, like, I mean, it didn't even have like doors on it or anything. And then we all dressed around that, and it was like the size of like a closet. And that was our locker room. And the boys had this big ass locker room. Yeah. It was huge. And we're sitting there like, if you wanted to go to the restroom, you had to go in front of everyone. And we're like, this is not a locker room. So, and now I see these things they have and I'm like, man, I'm glad you have it, but make sure you learn who got this for you, like in a sense, you know? So, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Well, Dina, thank you so much for joining us. Any last comments, Reed? Do you have any last questions for Dina? Or Dina, you have any last comments for us?
Nope, this is amazing. I'm glad you guys are doing this. Like, do this more. Our girls need to know more, because I do, as a travel ball coach, is that sometimes it's tough when you watch softball being played. And I like think about, remember when Gary was a psycho being thought because we had never played a loser's bracket and he made us play four games on Saturday and four games on Sunday. And I'm like, well, this is, but I remember the grind. Like, we never took a game off, or like those were, that's eight games in a weekend. And Gary made us do that like the whole year, because he thought we didn't know how to go up, come up the loser's bracket. And I'm like, that was intense, but you know what? We did it. And we learn how to grind. And I look at some of these girls who are just like, oh, just here. I'm like, this is not softball. Like, we need our old girls to come out and show them how we played. But if they would have watched Athletes Unlimited, they would have saw, but they weren't. So I love this.
We need to get more of your guys' travel ball stories. I mean, I have a few, but not, it doesn't sound as epic as, although we did play, I played at 2 a.m. in Bakersfield once in like a loser's bracket game, which, playing 2 a.m. in Bakersfield, that's like, that's dedication, man. If you're going out there at 2 a.m. in Bakersfield for a loser's bracket game. So,
I mean, talking about club ball, I actually just looked up the championships. I actually sent it over to Dominique. I'm going to send it to you, Dina. But what Dina's talking about is we did play four games both days. And I think we lost only two games the entire season. And it was the
week. Yeah. I'm like, remember when we lost like the last one right before freaking Nationals? And he was like, we're not practicing. Remember, he was like, I guess it was bound to happen. You were going to lose one game. I'm like, bro, you had us playing 200 games. We only lost one game.
200.
Oh, my gosh. That was crazy.
We got it. We're having you back, man. We got to do it. This will be like a continuing series of softball memories. This has been so awesome. And we appreciate it, because, you know, that story on the Washington uniform, it's on our site, d1softball.com. You can take a look at it, read it. Stuff we talked about, they'll compliment it in the story. It's a great tradition. I recommend everyone, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Thank you for giving us, you know, the personal experience and a voice. We really, we love having you on.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Dina.
All right. Bye.